TV conference is now being recorded and all lines are open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. On today's UDRP domain name lock work group on Tuesday, the 7th of June, we have Randy Ferguson, Sherry Falco, Alan Greenberg, David Roach Turner, Michaeli Nalon, Luke Seifer, Basil Shah, Jonathan Tenenbaum. From staff, we have Marika Kornings and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies noted today from John Berryhill, David Maher, Laurie Anderson, Matt Schneller, Gabriela Slack, Juan Manuel Rojas, and Celia Lehrman-Friedman. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Michaeli.
All right, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good... I don't know what other times are left. As usual, does anybody have any updates to their SOI? Going once, going twice... Sold. Okay, next. Today's call, we're just going to do a couple of things which hopefully won't take up too much time. The agenda, as you can see, is up on the Adobe Connect and was circulated to you via email. So we want to finalize, make any last adjustments to the survey that's going out to registrars, the other version of the survey that is going out to UDRP providers. We then want to look at next steps, and we're then going to have a little chat with Luke about the scope of the working group. Not picking on you, Luke, particularly, but hey, you did send the email. And then we're also a couple of other items, including planning for the meeting in Prague. If there's anything else anybody wants to raise, you know, please do let us know. I have a dial out to me where I am at the moment. I'm on a rather flaky Wi-Fi connection, so I might end up getting completely disconnected, at which point Alan will take over running everything on Adobe. Okay, the first item here is the survey for registrars and the survey for UDRP providers. Has everybody had a chance to look at the latest draft? Does anyone have any comments, either positive, negative, or otherwise? Marika?
It isn't, Marika. Just to confirm that, as far as I recall, there were no further comments on the mailing list made by anyone. I did receive a couple of comments saying people that they were happy as it looked, but there was nothing substantial that I saw on the mailing list, at least.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Working on the if nobody has any comments on this at this time, can we all just have a show of hands on the Adobe Connect that we are happy with the survey? Maybe I should rephrase that on a show of hands. What I meant is what's that thing? Sorry, it's 7 o'clock in the morning for me, and we all know how good I am in the morning. A green tick is what I was looking for, rather.
Michaela, David speaking. Just a question, if I could, Marika. Just wondering why in the current version, the opportunity to comment on the charter questions appears to be removed.
This is Marika. That shouldn't have been removed. That is a next page. If you see on the screen, at least, which version are you talking about, the registrars or the UDRP providers?
Both of them.
Because if you look here, you'll see there that the page 3, those are the charter questions. You see the one on the screen. So maybe it's because you need to click one page further that you didn't get there, because it should be there. Because if you look on the version on the screen, where it starts, I think on page 3, page 4, that is, it starts there with the working group charter questions and has a list that goes all the way to page 5. And that should be the same for the survey for UDRP providers.
But David, I'm seeing here working group charter questions, and it's questions 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And each one has a space for a comment.
Yeah, I can see them here on the posted version. I'm not sure why they weren't in the version that I was looking at previously, but I can see that they're here now, so retract that question. Thank you, Marika, for the clarification.
Yes, and I'll double check in Zoomerang that they're really there and that there's not a mix-up. So I'll make sure that those questions are there.
Great. Thanks very much.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Going once, going twice. Okay, then, based on that, we will then take it that the surveys are finalized. Now, the next thing is in terms of the distribution of the surveys, deadlines for responses, etc. Marika, what, in terms of timelines here, I mean, I presume if we send something out now, how long would we normally have to give for replies? What's the minimum?
This is Marika. That's actually really a question for you, and I think it would be good to get David's input, but also from the registrars on the call, what you think is a reasonable time to give your colleagues to respond, maybe also noting that the ICANN meeting is coming up. A lot of people are also focused on what's happening in the new GTLD program, so I would really look there to you what you think is reasonable. I know in previous surveys, we have given people timelines that vary from 2 weeks to a month to even longer. So it all depends a bit what you think is reasonable. I think from a working group perspective, I'm assuming that people would like this information as soon as possible, but I don't know how much time it will take people as well to gather the kind of information we're looking for.
Okay, fair enough. I know the question, I suppose, better framed, Marika, was, are there any parameters with respect to the work, the PDP guidelines that we need to respect for this kind of survey, or is it something that is more open to our own discretion?
Yeah, this is Marika, that's completely open, because a survey is not a required step in the PDP process, so the working group is completely free. What you might want to take into account, if you want to try and have some kind of initial review of the results, you might want to set a deadline that's just prior to the Prague meeting, so during the working group meeting there, you have a chance to look at what has come in, and if there's not sufficient data yet, that might be an opportunity to go out to some of the people you want to have input from to encourage them to complete it and extend the deadline. That would be one option, but I think that would give people a little bit more than 2 weeks. I don't know if that's enough or if that's too short.
Okay, then I'm going to pick on people. Gentleman from WIPO, how long do you think it would take UDRP providers to respond to the questionnaire?
From a WIPO perspective, noting that we have the ICANN meeting just around the corner and we have some prep that we need to do for that on a number of files of which the UDRP working group is one, we would say that a month would be a reasonable period to collect this data. I also make that comment being aware that although, of course, we've been involved in the discussions, it will come as more of a surprise to the other providers, so they might need a little bit more lead time to prepare the data that they would be contributing.
Okay. Registrars, I'm going to pick on Jonathan since he's still got a green tick up. Jonathan, how long do you think you would need to reply to this?
Unfortunately, I was multitasking a bit, so I...
Okay, I'll come back to you in a second. Think about it, and I'll come back to you. Luke, how long would you need to answer this, do you think?
Considering right now, I believe all our group, the registrar, are all focusing on the RA negotiation, I'm not sure. I would say 1 month or two.
Okay. Jonathan, I'm coming back to you.
What's the question?
How long do you think it would take you to reply to the questionnaire?
I think 30 days is reasonable.
Okay, then. Does anybody have any objection? Does anybody have any strong feelings towards having a shorter period than 30 days? Does anybody Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that anything less than 30 days is unreasonable.
Okay,
I mean, it depends to some extent when we're doing this, but, you know, depending on when we start it, it either includes an ICANN meeting or includes July vacation time. I think we have to be reasonable given the time of the year we're in.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's fine, that's fine. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. One suggestion could be that indeed we set a deadline of 30 days and, you know, somewhat towards the end of that time frame, we'll have a look and see how many responses we've received and if the group feels and, you know, we can reach out to the different parties. I mean, from the UDRP provider's perspective, it's easy to, you know, target those that haven't responded and ask them whether they're still planning to or and if they need more time and we can extend. And from the registrar side, I think we just need to see how many responses we've received to see if that's, you know, sufficient to have a, you know, broad enough set of data available, or whether, you know, further outreach would need to be done and extend the deadline, you know, following the 30 days. So that might be a suggestion to consider.
Thanks, Marika. Jonathan?
Yeah, and just to clarify too, I mean, it's not that the questionnaire takes that, you know, will take that long to fill out or get the information for, but I think that, you know, I think it's a good point to say that, you know, based on, you know, whether it's an ICANN meeting or just the time of year, I mean, just getting the, you know, just getting people to sit down and actually open it up and focus on it. I mean, that would be the concern, I think, just with shortening the period would just be, you know, limiting the amount of responses due to the fact that people just wouldn't get to it. So, and I think it's a good idea to follow up if we, you know, do 30 days or more or do 30 days, and then, you know, if we're not happy with the response, we, you know, we need more feedback, either extend the deadline or just be more proactive about getting people's individual feedback on the questionnaire.
Okay. So with that in mind, based on the feedback, then we're looking, we'll, if we can circulate it for an initial 30 days and then see if we need to extend it further or encourage registrars and UDRP providers to respond. So everybody is happy with that. Okay. In terms of distributing it to the UDRP providers, ICANN, I assume, would have a list of the contacts for those, Marika. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is, Marika. I assume so. I know that there was also a survey conducted as part of the issue report on the review of the UDRP, so I'll check back with my colleagues, because presumably that was sent to, you know, the different contacts at the UDRP provider, so I don't think that should be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, for the registrars, obviously, you can send it through it can be sent through through the stakeholder group, so that shouldn't be an issue. Plus, there's several,
okay,
several registrars on this working group as well.
Okay, we'll get that out in that way. I know there's as well, and it's something we've done for previous working groups, but I need to check with my colleagues if we can use that mailing list again, because the previous time they allowed me to do that, they said it was only if it wouldn't happen too often, because ICANN also has a mailing list that goes out to all accredited registrars, and you know, the last time we actually got really good responses by sending it out on that mailing list, so I'll ask my colleagues if there will be a chance that we can use that as well for distribution to the registrar community to get, you know, as much feedback as we can.
Okay, but that might be considered a nuclear option. The gentleman from WIPO.
Just a question. Being conscious that we're adopting an anonymous approach with respect to the responses received back from the registrars, is there some mechanism that we could utilize informally within the group to track somehow the registrars from which responses are received, so that we ourselves have some idea of this?
Sorry, could you explain what you mean by that? Do you mean, because if you're saying it's a bit confused, bearing in mind also it's early in the morning for me, so my brain isn't working too well.
Sure.
Do you mean you want it to be anonymous, but you want to also identify the registrars, or do you mean you accept that it's anonymous and you want to make sure that the people aren't replying to it twice?
Well, both, I suppose. I mean, I appreciate that we don't want to publish, or we don't want to require the responding registrars to identify themselves in the record, because we're concerned that might discourage full and frank replies. But if it comes to, for example, you know, checking that the data is not being double submitted, for example, if we've got some way to ensure that that does not happen, that would be useful. And also, if we're going to be looking at targeted follow-ups to ask those registrars that haven't responded if they would respond, if we don't know who's responded in the first place, how would we go about following up with those that haven't?
Okay, I'll let Marika's got her hand up. I'll let her speak first. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. With regards to making sure that people only respond once, I think there's a setting in the survey that you can restrict that only, you know, from one IP address one response is received. And, you know, I'm sure there are ways around that, but that's one restriction that can be set up as part of the survey. On the, you know, anonymous and whether people will fill in their names, based on past experience on recent surveys we've done, actually people do tend to fill in their name or at least their affiliation quite often, I think in the majority of cases. So we might have that information. So, you know, one way to try to encourage people to provide that information would be, instead of saying, you know, optional, you know, strongly encouraged, basically saying, like, you don't have to, but we would really like to know who you are so we can indeed see who has responded and maybe, you know, follow up with those registrars that, you know, maybe from certain sizes that are not covered in the survey yet, really make sure that we have a wide range of data and different, different setups.
Lucas suggesting that we give an ICANN T-shirt to every UDRP provider or registrar that replies to the survey. I'm not sure whether Marika can okay a budget for that. Can you, Marika?
I'm afraid not, but I'm sure there's some other people that have that authority that you can talk to in Prague.
Thanks, Marika.
Only if it comes with a free set of steak knives.
Sorry?
Only if it comes with a free set of steak knives.
We can make it conditional on coming to the ICANN meeting. We can be pretty sure I'll get a T-shirt.
Alan, do you have any comments on this?
Yes, I do. In the past, we haven't had a lot of problem asking the people to identify themselves, especially if we say that, you know, the identities will not be tied to the answers, but are for staff use only. You know, in Pedner, we did a registrar survey, and even the people on the work group didn't know who gave which answer unless it was obvious from the content. But so I'm presuming they will trust staff enough to fill that in most cases.
Thanks, Alan. any other comments, thoughts? And if WIPO does want to give a steak knife set to everybody who answers the survey, we wouldn't have any issue with that. Well, you're based in Switzerland, so it should be a box of chocolates or something, surely.
Free fondue cake. We'll look into it.
I'll hold you to that. Be careful. Okay, then. The next item on the agenda we have there is the email from Luke. And Luke's email, which I had open here, okay, was in relation to the working group's scope. And I think, are you sharing that? Oh, yes, she is. Perfect. And that's now up on the Adobe Connect. So Luke's basic concern is that the working group is self-limiting itself, the scope of its mission, without any valid reason. So Luke, would you like to talk us through this briefly?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so as I said the last time, and I believe I tried to transcribe more clearly here, is the fact that we are just addressing the locking of the domain and not the unlocking part, which to me is problematic, and I know for other registrars is as well, and I would like to have your feedback on that, and if we are allowed or not to include the unlocking and the condition to unlock the domain in the scope of UDRP.
Okay, thank you, Luke. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, as a representative of users, I would consider it completely unreasonable if we had the mandate to look at when to lock and when a registrar must lock a domain, but not include the unlocking half of it also.
Okay.
I can't separate the two.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that they're just so intertwined that I think that it seems, you know, it's incomplete or, you know, to only address the one piece and you know, pay no mind to the other side of it. So I would agree.
Marika, I'll get to you in a second. Anybody else have any thoughts on this before we go to Marika? Okay, Marika, you have the floor.
And this is Marika, just to trying to recall the discussions that we had at the time of, you know, drafting the charter and also the council discussions relating to that. I don't recall either, and you know, my memory might be wrong, but I don't recall either specifically or people specifically wanting to exclude the unlocking of the domain name. So it might be one of those things where indeed the charter is written in such a way that you might deduct from it that maybe unlocking is excluded, but I'm not really sure that that was really the intention. So my suggestion might be, if indeed there's, you know, broad working group support, that the unlocking part should also be considered, that this is maybe an issue that the working group might want to raise with the GNSO Council when you meet with them in Prague. Just clarify that it's the working group's understanding that as part of these deliberations, the working group will also consider the unlocking of the main name, you know, once the dispute has been resolved, just to make sure that that's also in the line of thinking with the GNSO Council. And if there are any objections there, that, you know, then it can be worked out as part of that discussion.
This is Michele, would take kind of with my chair hat slightly askew or off to one side. I mean, I remember from the conversations in the when we were doing the drafting of the charter, and you know, from other conversations around the entire UDRP reform and everything else, I don't particularly specifically recall anyone even inferring that we couldn't look at anything to do with unlocking, because, as Alan says, the two go hand in hand, and Jonathan backed that up. So, you know, from personally, I don't see any issue with that. I'll actually be meeting with the, what's Jeff Newman's official title within GNSO? Is he co-chair of the GNSO or vice chair?
Vice chair.
Well, I'll be meeting with him informally today anyway, so I might actually just ask him that informally, whether he has any issue with it, and then of course we can raise it formally at the session in Prague. And to Luke, thank you very much for going to the trouble of putting this out so clearly.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
This is David. Can I just make a suggestion that if we do go down this road of also looking at the question of how the and when and what circumstances the domain name can be unlocked, that we could clarify in the charter that is part of the working group's mandate? Because I think you do have to look a bit at the moment to see it in there. If that's what we're going to be discussing also and investing our time in, it might be useful to have that clarified at the level of the charter itself, if it moves forward.
Any thoughts from anybody? David, if you could take, if you get a, okay, I'll let Jonathan go in a second. David, if you could just send that, some kind of your thoughts on that back to the mailing list in reply to Luke's email, it would be helpful. Just to, so we can clearly see exactly what you're saying. Jonathan,
sure.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that I agree. I think that makes sense to include it in the mandate if possible, just to clarify that it's within the scope of this group and, you know, helps to better outline the purpose and include that in there. So it goes out of the box. But I was essentially just agreeing. I probably could have done that by way of the Greek check mark. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay. The one thing, though, that you should be aware of is that if there is a substantive change, or well, if there's a substantive change to the charter, then that will mean yet another GNSO vote. I think Marika's going to just double check that. Marika, if we're just seeking clarity on something, then would that require an actual vote?
No, this is Marika. I think if the GNSO confirmed, and you know, could be possibly incorporated in the minutes, or you know, will be in the transcript of that meeting, you know, that might be sufficient. But if you're specifically looking for adding something to the charter, and that, you know, requires a change of the charter, I think that requires another GNSO council vote on that, to those changes. Well, I'm just looking in the relevant documents to exactly find, because I think it's a simple majority vote that applies then. But when I find it, I'll post it in the chat.
The next, I mean, there's a GNSO council meeting today in a couple of hours, in about 6 hours' time. When's the next one after that? Is it Prague?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Alan, you have your hand up.
Yeah. I would phrase the questionnaire, if we want to make it a question, saying our interpretation of the charter is that we can consider unlocking as well as locking, since it's a natural extension. Is there any objection to that? That doesn't require a vote. If we actually want the words to be changed, or they feel the words need to be changed, it will require a vote. But I can't imagine council refusing, regardless of whether it requires a change in the actual wording of the charter, or just the confirmation that our interpretation is reasonable. So I don't think we need to worry about it. It can go on in parallel while we're doing the work.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Regardless, but I would phrase it saying this is our interpretation. Does anyone have a problem with that? So the simple way out is for them to simply, no one have a problem, and our interpretation will, you know, be logged in the minutes. But if someone decides that that's ridiculous, it has to be changed, so be it. They've added a piece of work onto the council list and go ahead. As I said, I can't imagine them refusing. So it's just a matter of what mechanism do we use. And we should opt for the simplest one and let them make it complicated if they want to.
And based on what I've seen from a couple of sources over the last few days, I suspect that several of the GNSO councillors would not be in favour of adding to their workload.
Well.
Just from the chat, and for the purposes of the transcript, Marika has put, from the PDP manual, approved charters may be modified or amended by a simple majority vote of each house. So that's if we want to, like, if they decide, were to decide that an actual modification or amendment to the charter was required, but as has been noted by a couple of people, a clarification which would be minuted would probably suffice. Gentlemen, the WIPO gentleman, do you have an issue with a clarification, a request for clarification as posited by Alan?
No, so, I mean, so long as the clarification is clear that, you know, it's something that the GNSO is prepared to have us do. I think what we would want to avoid is invest, you know, significant amount of time and resources in examining the issue only to be told after the fact that it's beyond mandate. So I think our principal purpose is to ensure that from the point that we start considering it, if we make recommendations, these are recommendations that are going to feed into a process.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Other thoughts? No? Okay. Moving on. Actually, just with a simple process question, Marika, would it be simplest if we were to formally email the GNSO chair and co-chair, just ask them this, or should I wait until the meeting in Prague?
Who's our liaison?
It's Joy.
Joy, yeah.
Then I would ask Joy to present it, to present the question. She's the contact, she's the interface.
And I think this is Enrique. I think it might be helpful indeed, you know, to work with Joy on putting that in an email so that it can be shared with the council before the prior meeting, so the discussion can actually be had during that session instead of maybe, you know, us trying to explain what the issue is and the council needing to think about it, but you actually can have hopefully a decision at that stage.
Yeah, that makes sense. Alan's just put in the chat as well, from a PR aspect, not allowing us to look at unlocking would be rather poor. Okay, then, so let's, dealing with this issue, let's try to work on wording something with Joy to send through so that it can actually get to the council list in advance of Prague, so that I don't end up walking into and asking a question of them and them all kind of getting completely confused. Next item on the agenda. Continued development of work plan approach. Let's see if I've got that window open here somewhere. Marika, go ahead.
It is, Marika. So this is actually an item that is in two parts, where first the work plan, I think we started looking at this at the start of the working group, but we haven't really started filling in some of the dates here. And you know, this is one of the required elements that the working group is expected to do, to set out a kind of work plan with, you know, some of the milestones. So it will be just to try to put some, you know, stakes in the ground to try to see when the working group is thinking of, you know, delivering its initial report, when the different public comment periods might take place, you know, when constituency and stakeholder group statements go out. I think some of the dates I probably will be able to fill in based on, you know, discussions we had over the previous week. Is, you know, now we've set a deadline for the survey, so it would be assuming that, you know, after the 30 days, we have a certain period of time to review the data. I think the idea was that after that, we would open a public comment forum to, you know, get further input, also based on the data received, and also reach out to stakeholder group and constituency statements, continue deliberations, and at some point, I guess, to initial report. So this would be more trying to get an idea of what the working group wants to set itself as a target for, you know, getting to the different steps that need to be achieved as part of the PDP process. And then the second part is, of course, the mind map that we've done, and I can pull it up in a second as well, where we've tried to outline some of the different approaches and some of the questions that we need to address. And, you know, the working group might want to spend some more time on looking at that. And I think it also links a little bit into the question, now that we've finalized the survey and that goes out and there will be a month for the different parties to respond to that, you know, in that interim time, does a group want to continue meeting and, you know, start discussing the different questions, or, you know, would that not be very efficient, as, you know, we're trying to get data to help inform those discussions, or are there other items the working group already wants to start working on? So it's really trying to get the working group to think on, you know, what are the next steps and how we're going to you know, organize the different meetings that are up and coming to make sure that we achieve the goals that the working group wants to set.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Just one possible thing to consider, looking at the document that you've shared there on Adobe Connect. Okay, we're now at, what is it today, 7th of June. So next kind of things, so you've got a variety of dates for working groups, the ICANN meeting in Prague, and then through to the 21st of September is the publication deadline for Toronto. Based on what I've seen in several other areas, if we are intending to do anything prior to Toronto, if we want to do something, we'd want to do it, I would say, looking at the dates here, earlier in the month. Because what keeps on happening is that on the publication deadline, ICANN and working groups and everything else do this massive document dump, which means that everybody's completely overwhelmed with documents. So you get everything kind of gets lost in there, and people don't have a chance to read everything. So I would suggest that if we are thinking of doing anything prior to Toronto, that we would want to look at moving a deadline a couple of weeks prior to the publication deadline. That's just my own personal opinion. Does anybody have any thoughts, suggestions, or comments? Alan?
Sorry, if my hand's up, it's from before.
Okay. No, your hand isn't.
Sorry, I wasn't at my computer. No, I don't think so. I think right now it's a bit early in our time frame to say whether we're likely to really have something for publication at that point.
Okay, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Looking at indeed the dates that are on there, I'm not really sure either whether that's going to be a realistic timeline. Because if I'm just taking note that we're going to send out the survey maybe today, tomorrow, or on Monday, that will give people a month, so that already takes us to the beginning of July. And it's not unlikely that we might need to extend if we haven't received enough responses. So that might take us to half July, for example. Then the working group will need some time to review the responses and analyze the data, which might take another couple of meetings, let's say, until the beginning of August. Then the working group will still need to send out the constituency and stakeholder group statements, which is a minimum of 35 days. So that would already take you to the end of August. And also a public comment forum is currently a minimum of 42 days. So then you're already looking at being somewhere in September when you still need to evaluate comments and constituency and stakeholder group statements. Of course, there are ways to speed that up, or indeed say, it's not likely at this stage that we might have something for Toronto, although you can as well produce another kind of document which is not yet the initial report. If there are certain kind of questions or recommendations you want to have out for discussion for Toronto, that is something else you might want to look at. But I think if you look at the initial, trying to set it as a target for the initial report, it might be a challenge looking at the different steps that you already know are going to be required as part of the process.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Any comments or thoughts? Okay. Marika, you have that mind map thing of yours?
Yes. Hold on. Let me try to share my screen. Are you able to see that?
Yes, possibly. For me, I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm finding the text very, very small. But that could just be that I'm blind.
I can make it a bit bigger, and otherwise you can also use your full screen setting. Although this might already be a bit better.
If I do that, you see I'm going to lose the thing on the side, aren't I?
Yes. Is this already better? I've made it a bit bigger.
I can see it on my full screen, but I've got a big screen.
I'll zoom in a bit more.
Well, that's better, for me anyway.
So basically what I've done on the top is basically outline some of the administrative items, the confirmation of the working group leadership, and just for those of you that might not be aware, the GNSU Council is having a meeting today, and that's on the agenda. We've got a schedule for the meetings, we've requested the meetings, there's going to be a working group session. Then there's a second part that is the outreach part, where we've spoken about requesting public input as part of two surveys we're doing. We're going to do public comments following the surveys. We'll have part of our session probably is a public session, I think, as we discussed before, that there might be a part where people can ask questions and provide input. Then there's also the request for stakeholder group constituency statements that will be done once the survey is completed. There's also the requesting the opinion of other ACs and SOs, which presumably will coincide with requesting input from GNSO stakeholder groups and constituency statements. And I think that we also said we would do some information gathering looking at the URS locking requirements and the best practices paper that was discussed before. And then what you see in this document as well is basically the charter questions and some of the other questions, I think, that we've identified in the meantime that we want to discuss. And on some of them, we've already identified as well some of the specific questions and the subtopics in there. So that's what I have for now as, you know, the approach. So a question might be if, you know, the working group wants to spend more time looking at each of these questions and, you know, starting to dig deeper on each of these or, you know, I said before, whether it's really necessary to first have the data from the registrar and UDRP provider survey to, you know, do that. So I think that's really a question for the working group, what you think is possible at this stage or where we can already achieve or, you know, make progress on certain items and not maybe lose, you know, valuable time that we currently have.
Okay, thanks, Mika. What format is that mind map thing in?
I'm not really sure what the extension is, but I can convert it to a PDF. So it's posted in that version as well on the working group wiki. I've made a couple of small changes based on our last discussion, so I'll post this latest version there as well.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments or other feedback? Okay. Looking towards Prague, we have session there from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, 28th of June. And the agenda details, there's a link for that as well.
Yes, but there's nothing there.
Okay,
so that's indeed one of the issues that, you know, the working group might want to discuss as well. What agenda do you want to have for that meeting? What I've provided now, I think there is just a general description of what the working group is about, but the working group is also expected to post an agenda as part of the schedule. I mean, of course, part of it, you know, will be the standard, what we're doing today as well. But, for example, you might want to consider kicking off, especially if there are other people in the room that are not members of the working group, just with a short recap where the working group is and what, you know, what our approaches are and what we're working on, and then maybe dive into some of the more substantive issues.
Okay. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments on what we should be discussing in that meeting? Deathly silence. Okay, then I will try to fill the gap slightly. I mean, the kind of thing I suppose that would make some sense would be maybe just to give a brief overview of what the working group is about, what it's meant to be dealing with, possibly extrapolating something from this mind map thingy that Marika has put together. I mean, the other thing, I suppose, as well, is possibly we can use the meeting in Prague to do a couple of things. First off, reminding people that there are questionnaires that have been sent out to both UDRP providers and registrars, and also that we will be opening a public comment period. I'm not sure actually on the timing of that, but we will be opening a public comment period on the topic. Hopefully, not too far after that. Maybe also if people have any, I don't know. Anybody, I suppose the other thing as well, if people wish to join the working group, they're still welcome to, because I think we can't actually stop people from joining. They can join at any time during a working group, as far as I know. What else? Other feedback from people? I mean, do we want to make this slightly more interactive? Do we want to have a short presentation from somebody just to explain some of the issues that they face practically? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. What would people like to do, considering this is going to be the first opportunity to interact with the public? However, bearing in mind that it is a meeting early in the morning, at 9 a.m., I wouldn't get too excited about the number of people who would actually turn up. But just bear that in mind. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Indeed, maybe to make it a little bit more interesting, and I think also, you know, looking at the working group and some of the discussions we've had, I think there's still quite a lot of learning to do within the working group, but also, indeed, if others come, and as Michele said, you know, there might not be many, but still, it might be of interest to have, you know, on the one side, someone from WIPO, you know, talking about the issues they face, and on the other side, registrars, the issues, you know, they have with this, to really make clear to, as well, the working group, but it's the audience there, you know, why we're addressing this issue and why it's, you know, posing problems. So maybe having indeed two kind of little case studies from the two perspectives that might help indeed inform the discussions and maybe get it a bit more interactive and interesting.
Okay, thanks, Marika. I personally think that's a good approach. Does anybody disagree with that? And secondly, who would be willing to volunteer themselves to do so, to provide these short little case study type things? Luke, could I volunteer you?
Yes, you can. 9
okay.
a.m., you said.
And the gentleman from WIPO.
Yeah. Sorry.
So this would be what a brief presentation to illustrate a case study in which there has been an issue that's come up in a UDRP proceeding. Yeah, sure, we can do that.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, I mean, for both parties, you know, remember the audience at a public meeting is quite mixed. So while some people might be have a huge amount of experience in the area, others don't. I mean, the thing, just speaking personally, you know, if you can make this anything you're doing there, make it very, in terms of the slides. I would recommend you look at the Guy Kawasaki type approach. You know, less is more. Just speaking from basic experience, explaining in simple terms what the issue is that you face, and just, you know, to illustrate it. So let's move on. We can follow up on this after the call. In terms of meetings and everything else moving forward, do we want to meet again before the Prague meeting, or are we happy to meet again in Prague? You know, if we're sending out these questionnaires and everything within the next couple of days, does anybody have any strong feelings? Sherry is saying on the chat that she can't see any reason for us to meet before Prague again. And also on the chat we have Luke asking, has anybody been in contact with CAC, the UDRP provider based in the Czech Republic? And if needed, he can reach out to them. It would be good, personally speaking, I think it would be good if they were made aware of the fact that we were having that meeting at least. Any other thoughts? Okay, then let's let us work on the basis that we're going to follow what's been done in a couple of the other working groups, that our next meeting will be in Prague, and then again after that, that we'll be meeting on the 12th of July. Does anybody have any strong feelings against doing that? Does anybody have any feelings that this is a good idea? Sherry thinks it's a good idea. Thank you, Sherry. You can all use your little green tick boxes, by the way, rather than if you don't want to actually say something. Oh, I'm seeing lots of green. Perfect. Well, two bits of green. I'll give myself a green. So if nobody opposed to this? Okay, then. Does anybody have any other issues they wish to raise at this juncture? Am I the only person left on this call?
No, Michele,
you are not.
The silence is lovely and everything else, you know, but it's just, it is a bit kind of disconcerting. Thinking, you know, is the phone still working? Okay, then, if nobody has any other matters they wish to raise, I will give you back a couple of minutes and see you all in Prague, and let us continue the discussions about those case studies and everything else via the list, and we'll then call this meeting adjourned.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Michele.
Thanks.
Thanks all. Bye.